Morning, we're going to talk about someone in Baptist history. If you've been coming to class for a while, you'll know this name. And yes, I use every excuse to talk about this person and the time period around his life. But today is the anniversary of the death of Schubel Stearns and Elder Schubel Stearns. And I want to talk a little bit about him from maybe a little bit different perspective, but and tell you about his work. And it's a name that is kind of a funny name to pronounce, but a name that we all should know, especially as Baptists, Schubel Stearns. And, you know, we talked about him last in, it was almost 3 years ago, I talked about him in Baptist history, the 50 Baptists we should know, and we went a little deeper into his ministry at that time. But there are several periods of revival in our country's history. There is one, though, that is many times overlooked. And God used Schubel Stearns and his assistant pastors to bring a great revival that spread from North Carolina in 1755 and on. Stearns was born in Boston in 1706, raised in a Congregationalist church, as everyone was in Massachusetts at that time. In 1740, when he was 35 years old, the great English evangelist George Whitefield came to America and began preaching, and thousands of people were saved. And we know that time period as the Great Awakening. Many, many people changed our country and for God, and a great time in our country. And one of the people that was saved in that time and under that preaching was Schubel Stearns. Those that were saved at that time, many of them left the Congregationalist church, state church. They left the church because as they studied their Bible, they realized that much of the teaching that they were receiving in their churches was not found in the Bible. And those people were given a derogatory name called separates. And so Stearns became and joined the separates in 1745. Eventually God would call him to preach. And he was ordained a ministry. Now, again, they were called separates. It was a derogatory term because they separated out of the state church. And these people were looked down upon as, you know, really as second-class citizens. But that is where the name separate comes from. Stearns would eventually become a Baptist. And we have the name Separate Baptists from that time period. And really, I would have to say, and in my studies, that we, our churches that believe like we do, are really direct descendants from the Separate Baptists, more than any other Baptist version that you would think of. And so this really affects us and what we're going to talk about today. As I said, eventually God called him to preach. He soon was pastoring a church in Connecticut. In the early 1750s, he felt that God was calling him to a greater ministry. And really not understanding what God was doing, he felt that God was calling him south from Connecticut to work with people in the wilderness. And now the wilderness at that time is parts of Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina. That's the wilderness in our country at that time. And he really felt that God was calling him south. So he quickly got his affairs in order, and he asked his congregation, he encouraged them to accompany him. Many of them didn't, but six couples agreed to go with him. So with this group of 14 people, they began traveling, really not knowing where God was going to lead them. They traveled south, and Stearns was almost 50 years old at this time. On his way south, he stopped in Virginia and a Baptist church there, and that is where he met Daniel Marshall. Daniel Marshall, his own, we should study him separately. He says his own story. But Daniel Marshall would become Stearns' brother-in-law. He would marry Schubel Stearns' sister. And Daniel Marshall joined Stearns in this journey south. And we now know that these two men especially, would form a team that really we could compare to the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. This is amazing what God did with these two men. The year was 1755, and the period of the next 20 years, one of the most exciting in American Baptist history. When they came to North Carolina as they moved south, they came across an area that really three trading paths, or much more, they really couldn't call them roads, but three trading paths cross, north, south, east, west. And these three trails converged in a little notch in the wilderness of North Carolina near a small creek named Sandy Creek. When Stearns first saw this junction, he thought this was exactly where God was leading him. And he was not coming south for economic reasons, but he was coming to preach the gospel. And this, he thought, would be the strategic center from which he could send out preachers and build a church to these spiritually destitute people that were there in the wilderness. They first built a meeting house on what was to become the center of their new community. And on November 22nd, 1755, these eight couples constituted Sandy Creek Baptist Church, and they called Shubal Stearns to be their pastor. Stearns began to preach as soon as they installed pulpit in the new meeting house. And it is said that singing of this group, as it began to grow, could be heard for miles, 10, 20, 25 miles down the rows and the paths. And people came out just to see what in the world this was. And people began to hear preaching that they hadn't heard in years, if ever. And they were coming from the neighboring farms and the villages, and they were also quick to acknowledge that with this preaching, and they never in their lifetime had heard preaching such as they were hearing from Shubal Stearns and Daniel Marshall. And Stearns began to train his new converts. The preachers would go into the farms and the villages. For them, one author put it this way, that religion was real, hell was real, Jesus was real, and you needed to be born again. And these men were a different kind of preacher. They were filled with God's power, and God would bless this preaching and these men in a way that is rarely seen in history. And the Lord added to the church literally quite daily. Within a year, that 16 people, the church had become, had grew to over 600 members in a year. There were times in the early years of this church where there were 3,000 people gathering there at Sandy Creek. And in the day we live in, that number doesn't sound as impressive with a day of mega churches. But you think about the wilderness of North Carolina, and you think about the only way to get to church was to walk, mostly. If you were semi-wealthy, you could have a horse to ride on. And then the only way you would hear about this, typically, would be word of mouth, people telling you about this little church near Sandy Creek, North Carolina. Stearns began to train men in his church that were saved and had received the call to preach. And he and Marshall began preaching all through Virginia, the southern part of Virginia, and they preached all the way to the Atlantic Ocean in North Carolina. And churches began to be started. When they have a nucleus of believers, they would start a church. Stearns would only have 20 years to live. And when you think about that, that's pretty amazing. You think about this as being a lifetime of work, and even that would be amazing. But he lived only 20 years. And in that time, that church... would evangelize thousands and thousands of people through those regions. They would begin over 42 churches in Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee. And I have to say, however, this is just the beginning of what God would do over the next 50 years across the southern states. Shubal Stearns went to be with the Lord on November 20th, 1771, 251 years ago today. And praise God for these simple men who literally change a nation. And I want to thank the Lord for the separate Baptists and their connection to us, really, and the courage they had to follow the Scripture wherever it would lead them. And I can't help but think, oh, that we would have the faith and the courage in our own lives that God could use. And I thank the Lord this morning for Shubal Stearns and his ministry.